We're having that one.
Okay, all right.
Well, good afternoon.
Control, device unlocked. Screen on time, 3:27 PM. Yes, unlabeled.
Okay, all right. Anyhow, good afternoon once again.
Good afternoon.
I'm really excited to talk to you about the iPad. And I'm going to move very quickly because Joe said I'm not allowed to keep you till midnight. He wants to get in the pool tonight and they close at 11. But we have a lot with iPad to talk about. And even before we get into the iPad, I want to talk about a few more features in iOS that are available across the board on iPad and iPhone, because this year's iOS update to iOS 13 is just absolutely massive. There has never been, as far as I'm concerned, a more feature-packed, singular update released from Apple in any one update season. It is absolutely incredible. And there are just so many features that change the way we do things that have enhanced the experience. And all of these features are available on the iPad and the iPhone. Now, of course, we heard about a few of them already today, right? We heard about dark mode. We heard about the quick path typing where we can swipe to type. We heard a lot about the voiceover features, the voice control, the activities, all of the enhancements to accessibility. But you know, there are so many more really awesome features when you install iOS 13. Like rich formatting in mail. So that now when you send emails to your friends, to your coworkers, to your family, to your colleagues, using the Apple Mail app, you can have desktop class formatting in every email. You can change the font, you can bold and italicize, you can create bulleted and numbered lists, and a whole lot more. And then not to mention the fact that you can scan documents, take photos, and add other attachments right from the Mail app. Like the updates to the Apple Calendar app that now allow you to include attachments in your events. So I have on my calendar the presentation today for the National Federation of the Blind here at this convention, and guess what I attached to that event? The agenda in the Word document is attached to the event. If we have time, I'll show you. I want to get all this shared with you, and then if we have time, we'll do the demos. If not, you come over to the table and see it, okay? So like that in the calendar, like the completely redesigned Reminders app with smart lists that give me a quick overview of the reminders that I have scheduled, today's reminders, what's upcoming, and a whole lot more. And not only that, now you know that Reminders on iOS has always been great with time-based reminders, right? Remind me to water the plants at 7 p.m. You also know that Reminders has been very good with location-based reminders. Remind me to call my wife when I leave work. Remind me to pick up milk as I pass by the grocery store. Well, now you can tag a person in a reminder so that whenever you are sending a message to that person, you will automatically get the reminder about what you wanted to tell that person. Remind me when I'm messaging Janie and Joe to thank them for the opportunity to be here at the convention. Next time I'm in a messages conversation with them, it pops up that reminder reminding me to do just that. Yep, and that is the completely overhauled, redesigned Reminders app. Now there are a ton of other features. For those who can see, time-synced lyrics in music so that you can actually see the lyrics where they're supposed to appear in the song. Karaoke has never been more fun. And of course, if you can't see, you can still read the lyrics anytime you want with voiceover. Like features that allow you now to add and share your name and photo with anyone you choose in the Messages app. Features like collections in Apple Maps, so that when I look at Apple Maps, I can have collections that I've saved based on a type of business, based on a theme, based on a location. I can go into Apple Maps and I can choose favorite restaurants, and I've built up a collection of favorite restaurants. Or I can choose recreational places, places that we take the kids bowling or the movies, or anything else that I have created, and you can even share those collections with other people. Not only that, but in Apple Maps, you can share your ETA when you are using voice-guided turn-by-turn directions, you can now share your ETA with anyone you choose, whenever you choose, and they can track your progress if you allow it, so that they will always know exactly when you're due to arrive. And you can even attach ETA sharing to a particular contact, so that anytime you're traveling to, or I should say really to a particular location, so that anytime you're traveling to this location, you immediately share automatically without you having to do anything, you're sharing that ETA with the people you've chosen just because you're navigating to that particular place. Now, this is just a fraction of the stuff that has been added to iOS, and we're going to talk about more of it with iPadOS coming up here in just a second. But I just want to say, I want to answer this question before we get into the iPad, because I have been asked this question so many times. And the question, of course, should I update? I think if you can't tell already, if you haven't guessed by now, my answer is going to be absolutely you should update. But I want to give you some reasons to sort of quantify that a little better, if you don't mind. First of all, the first reason, of course, is to get all of these new awesome features that we're talking about and be able to use this really cool stuff. The second reason I highly recommend that people update is because there really are many new enhancements to security and privacy, and I'm going to highlight just a few of those in a moment. And finally, because there really is power in numbers, my friends, I am a beta tester, and I take that job of beta testing very seriously. Just ask my family who's here with me. I get on their nerves with it. I take it extremely seriously. I reported probably more than 20 different bugs to Apple this summer over the beta testing season. I'm not boasting, all right? I give all the glory to God anyway. I'm not looking for credit. That's not the point. My point is, with all of the bugs that I've reported to Apple, every single year it happens that like a week before the public release, I realize that I missed something glaring. And I think to myself, how did I miss that? And I'm even using it on my main devices, which you're not supposed to do. But I do it because I don't feel I can adequately test it if I don't use it on my main devices. My point is, stuff is going to be missed. It's just the nature of software development. Billions of lines of codes, billions of users using their devices in different ways. We are all human. None of us is perfect. Stuff is going to be missed. The quickest way you get that stuff fixed is by more and more of us using it so that we experience these things. That always helps, thank you. That we experience these things and then we can kindly and positively report them to Apple and say, were you aware? Because they may not have even been aware. So, having said that, let me get back to features. I mentioned to you that there is a wealth of new security and privacy features. You know, Apple takes privacy very seriously. They believe it's a fundamental right. And so privacy and security are built right into the core of these operating systems. And there have been a lot of under-the-hood changes to really enhance that. But I want to talk about a few user-facing changes. The first one has to do with location sharing. Now, we've all seen these messages, right, when we're prompted that a certain app wants to use our location. But now, we have been given more choices, so we can allow only one time, just for this one instance, we can allow the app to use our location, or anytime the app is open. We're also going to get periodic reports. Hey, were you aware that the Starbucks app has been using your location for the last 7 days? Do you want to continue that, or do you want to turn that off? Well, I like my coffee, so I'm going to continue that. But you see, we have these options. We now get notifications when an app wants to use Bluetooth, because Bluetooth can be used for nearby location sharing. So we even get notifications for that. Another new feature when it comes to security and privacy, sign in with Apple. Now, we've all seen these things where we're going to websites or apps and it says you can create an account, but you can also sign in with Facebook. You can also log in with Google. All these options, right? And we don't know how secure these options are. Well, now we have a company that we trust, Sign In with Apple. Now, with Sign In with Apple, all you're using is your Face ID or your Touch ID or your device passcode. You don't need to provide any additional information, and all of your devices that are associated with your Apple ID, iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, Apple TV, Mac, even, by the way, Windows systems, are signed in to that account. Now, there are some accounts that need your email address, right? Some things just need it. Well, now with Sign In with Apple, you can give that email address if you choose, or you can allow the Sign In with Apple feature to create a one-time use random email address that has nothing to do with your identity. All the communications from the affected website or app will be forwarded to your actual email so that you can read them. If you get annoyed by them, you can turn them off anytime you want. And you can manage them from your settings. You have unique email addresses for each app that uses Sign In with Apple if you want. Oh, there are several other security and privacy features, but I only want to share one more and then I want to move on. The last one I want to share has to do with location control in photos. So we've all taken photos, we've all received photos. Even though we can't see most of us, many of us, the Apple devices have just changed the world for us and we share photos now, right? Well, when we share photos, maybe we're not aware that our location is embedded into the metadata of those photos that we're sharing. And that is wonderful. That's a great thing when we're sharing our photos locally, because next year, if Joe finally pulls the trigger and gets that iPhone, he can go back. Gotta pick on you, Joe. How you doing, my friend? When he finally gets that device, he can go back and he can look at all the pictures from the NFB convention, and he knows where they were. He can even search for them by location. So location sharing in photos is a great thing. However, there are times we may not wish to share our location, right? If we're taking pictures of the kids and posting them on Facebook, we really don't need 350 Facebook friends knowing where we were at that moment. Well, now you have complete control over that every time you share a photo. When you select the share option, VoiceOver is going to say one photo selected or seven photos selected or whatever it says. You immediately swipe up and down. It's a rotor action. You choose options, and in there you can choose to include the location or not. You can totally strip that photo of all metadata that it doesn't need. And this is a way that you can keep your privacy in control. So that is just a few of the privacy and security features. And now I want to get to the actual topic, which is the iPad. Because everything that we've talked about, everything that Tony shared, all of these things are available on the iPad as well. But for some reason, this year, iPad has iPad OS. Now, why would anyone want to do that? Well, you know, back in 2010, when Steve Jobs introduced the iPad, he called it a magical and revolutionary product. And I couldn't agree more. I believe that the iPad has completely transformed the way that we work, play, learn, communicate, create, and express ourselves. I've got my 11-inch iPad Pro sitting right up here, and I'm itching to show you some demos. If we run out of time, we'll do it at the table afterwards. But it is a fantastic device, and it has changed my life, no question about it. If you want to know more about that, tomorrow afternoon I'll be doing a presentation called Revolutionize Your Life with Apple. You can hear all about a day in the life of a day in the connected digital life, rather. But here's the thing. The iPad runs iOS at its core. But there are some things about the iPad that just truly take it to the next level, that really do benefit from an entirely separate operating system. And that's why we have iPad OS, because this year's release is packed full of features that are designed to take advantage of the unique features of the iPad, like the beautiful large display, which, yes, even if we can't see, that display, that screen real estate, means something if we learn how to use it properly. Like multitasking and true drag and drop on the iPad. So iPad OS is a well-deserved name. And I want to talk about a handful of features right now that I think are just going to amaze some of you. Now, it all starts with a completely redesigned home screen on the iPad. So now, when we open up our iPad, and I'm going to go ahead and get it out here while I'm talking, so if I seem just a slight bit distracted, I apologize. I don't multitask as well as iPad OS does. But the new home screen allows me to have my widgets right beside my app icons. Now, what is a widget? Well, the iPhone has them too. A widget is a way to get quick access to information that we want. It's page one of your iPhone home screen, folks. If you want to see the weather, maybe you have your nearby places so you can look for restaurants and shopping and gas and other things. Maybe you have your Fandango app so you can quickly see upcoming movies. You know, maybe some of you have a Bible app or a Wikipedia app, all kinds of things that display widgets that you can get quick access to this information. Well, on the iPad, it is available right on the home screen. Give me about 5 seconds. Okay. I've got mail.
Can you turn on some?
We will.
42 p.m.
Now, I'm on my home screen. On my iPad, I authenticated with Face ID. Here are some of my app icons.
Podcasts, stocks, news, reminder, notes.
Okay, that's the home screen. We've all heard what the home screen sounds like, but I'm just going to touch up a little bit higher on the left.
3:42 p.m.
The time?
Thursday, November 7th.
The date?
Weather, button, show more. Islip, cloudy, chance of rain, 20%. Current temperature, 57 degrees. High 57 degrees, low 32 degrees.
Right on my home screen with my apps. If I keep swiping, I have another widget here.
Up next.
Revolutionize
your life with Apple NFP presentation tomorrow from 2:10 p.m. to 4 p.m.
Guess I better be there for that. And then then we get into the actual apps. We just keep swiping. Those widgets are right beside the apps. Now I can swipe down with 3 fingers to see all of my widgets if I want to, but right now I just have my 2 favorite widgets, the weather conditions and the up next widget, right alongside of the apps on my home screen. The next feature I want to talk about with iPadOS are Safari, kind of a group of features, Safari enhancements. So first of all, there's an all-new format options button in Safari. This allows us on a per web page basis to decide the kind of text that we see, to decide in some cases what font we're seeing, to make other decisions about the website that we are seeing. On an iPhone, this will allow us to choose the desktop version of the website. And finally, if it's available, it allows us to show the reader mode. Does everybody know what reader mode is? You will in a second. Reader mode takes away all the ads, all the superfluous links, all the stuff that just gets in the way and presents you with a beautiful rendering of just the text that is important to you. It's great for articles and blog posts, and so you can show and hide that from the new format options. But that's just the beginning. Safari on iPad now for the first time automatically loads desktop versions of every website that you visit. So if you have ever tried to use something like WordPress or Squarespace or Google Docs on the web without the app, or Apple's very own iCloud.com website where there were certain things you could only do on the web, and you would get this message, sorry, you have to be on a Mac or PC to do this, no more. Desktop class web browsing on every website you visit in Safari on iPadOS. Not only that, true downloads and a download manager in Safari. So now you can control where your downloads go. By default, they go to the downloads folder in iCloud Drive. That means if I download something to one device, it's available on all of my devices. Not only that, but in Safari, right up there by the format options and the address and search bar and all that, I'll have a downloads button when there is an active download. And it will allow me now to quickly access, delete, open, whatever I want to do with my downloads. Speaking of download management, the Files app is at the early stages of a complete overhaul. So by this time next year, you're going to have true iCloud Drive folder sharing in the Files app. Think like Dropbox folder invites, okay? That's going to be in the Files app, Apple says, this spring. In the meantime, we already have several new features in the Files app. Guess what you can do? You can now zip and unzip files in the Files app on iPad and iOS. Now, for the first time, somebody still uses them. Not me, mind you. USB flash storage in the Files app. Local file storage, you can access your USB thumb drives, your external hard drive, your SD cards with the right adapter, right on your iPad or iPhone in the Files app without any extra apps or any extra setup. Not only external file storage, but remote server access now in the Files app. I mean, this, we could just go on and on and on about the features and the functionality. With Safari, you can set automatically the tabs that you don't use to close after a period of a day or a week or a month or whatever you specify so that they're not just remaining open anymore. Now, the last specifically iPad feature that I really want to talk about is, of course, with multitasking. Now, for the first time, you can actually have two documents or two windows of the same app open simultaneously, one on each side of the iPad. If I want to have two email messages open, two Pages documents, two websites side by side, I can do that. And I also can have, of course, two separate apps open at the same time. And not only can I have two separate apps open, I can even drag and drop from one app to the other. I think I have, okay. I have time to do a quick demo here because this is one of my favorite things to demo.
340.
Some of you may have seen this last year. So what we're gonna do, I'm gonna pretend that I wanna send a note from my Notes app to someone in Messages. Now, of course, I can just use the share option, and that works great. And now there's new sharing suggestions. I can share folders in Notes. I can do a lot with sharing, but I want to drag and drop. Why? Because it's cool. All right, we're going to open Notes.
Notes, folders, back button.
What folder am I in?
Notes.
Good, that's the one I want to be in. I'm just going to find my snack baking instructions. I've made a list of those. The really important stuff, you know? There they are. And they're pinned to the top. You know, you can pin notes so that they're always on top. You can lock notes. You can do checklists. And when you check stuff off, it automatically goes to the bottom of the note now. Anyhow, what I'm going to do now is a little gesture where I'm going to swipe up from the bottom, and then I'm going to immediately swipe back down. That is going to bring up the dock for me so that I can open a split view session.
Redo dimmed button. Redo dimmed.
Okay.
Redo dimmed.
I want to make sure I'm in the.
Redo dimmed button.
There we go.
Suggestions, notes, doc, file, nav, music, Safari, messages, one unread message.
We're going to open Messages, but we're going to use the rotor.
Pin messages to the left.
We're going to pin messages to. Do I want it on the left or the right? Let's do it on the right.
Messages to the right. Selected. Notes on left. Messages on right. Snack baking instructions.
On the left.
Selected. Snack baking instructions. M&T. Selected. Snack baking instructions.
I have my notes. On the right.
Messages. Plus one. Ed and Carson Wayne.
I have my messages. I'm just going to tap on a message.
Message. iMessage. Text field. Message. Text field. Is editing. iMessage.
Actually.
Notes. Note,
there's the one on the left.
Double
so,
compose a new note.
On the right hand side,
messages, Ed and Kat, back button, back
I'm going to go to the messages list.
Ed and Kat, Walbrecht, notes, sort by date, pinned, selected, snack baking instructions.
I'm going to use the rotor.
Unpinned note, active, drag item.
Drag item. Double tap. It's now dragging. I'm going to go to the right hand side.
Messages. Carson, wait.
And I think I have to actually, yep, go into this message, set the rotor to actions,
drop at cursor, drop ready,
drop at cursor,
drop at cursor, drop snack baking instructions, grab pretzel 350 428.
If you look, it's in
message, text field is editing, snack baking instructions.
My message is out now. I can actually send that right now. I know that probably didn't, it may have been too fast for a lot of you, but I wanted to get it in there. We can talk about it more at the table. But what we just did, we opened Notes. We then revealed the dock with a swipe up from the bottom until we heard a little blip sound and immediately swiped back down. We then used the rotor to pin the Messages app to the right-hand side. So now I had notes on the left, messages on the right. I went over to the left, I found the note I wanted to send, and I used the rotor to choose the drag option, and I double-tapped on that. Now that it's dragging, I move my finger over to the right-hand side, I go into the edit field for the message that I want, and I use the actions rotor to drop the message, to drop the note in that message. That is drag and drop, true drag and drop with split view multitasking on an iPad. I mean, this is incredible stuff. So, all right. So, any questions from anybody? We got time for two or three.
Alex.
What's the difference between drag and drop on the, like, say, on the iPhone when you're moving an app versus drag and drop on the iPad? What's the difference between that?
That's a good question. Yeah. So, drag and drop on the iPhone that you're talking about is specifically for moving apps. And there are one or two other places on the iPhone where you can drag stuff, but the iPhone does not support true drag and drop of elements between apps, like a message into a note, or a note into a message, or a photo into an email, things like that. But iPad OS does.
Okay.
Anybody else? Hey. I have a question.
Oh,
who's that?
Question.
Serena,
go ahead. Go ahead, hi.
Weird. Started getting these phone calls from Apple support. And I'm assuming it's a scam. Just like I used to get the ones from Microsoft for the PC. Oh, your PC has problems.
Yeah. So they are scams. Apple will never do that. That is a scam that is going around there. But there's a new feature in iOS 13 that can help you mitigate that. Go into settings and go into phone, and you, this is a personal preference thing, but you have the option of turning on silence unknown callers. Now anybody that's not in your contacts or your messages or Siri suggestions will be sent straight to voicemail. Silence unknown callers. Yep.
Thank
you.
You know me, so don't look at it.
Now, well, Kathy, but sir.
One second.
Oh.
Andy, I don't know if you might not answer this now, but aside from hearing some interesting, I can get some interesting feedback on Twitter and the other places. You know,
nobody can hear him.
Kind of neglecting the
we'll
Mac.
We'll tell you what he said.
Apple's kind of neglecting the Mac and other stuff. You have any comments about that?
I have a lot more comments than I have time to share. We'll talk more at the table, but no, they're not.
Can you repeat the question?
They didn't know what the question
was. Oh, you didn't hear the question. He was getting a lot of, he's been reading some comments from people saying that Apple is neglecting the Mac. And I'm saying, no, they're not. Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk afterwards. Stop and see me. But yeah, no, I don't hold that view. Now, I don't use a Mac much. I use my iPad for just about everything. But I don't share that view, yes.
Kathy? Yeah, I have a question. On my phone, sometimes I get calls and they say scam likely. So if I go in and do this unknown, will that silence those two and get rid of them?
Yeah, so that scam likely thing can also be a carrier service from, like, I think AT&T and Verizon is both doing that.
What does that mean? What?
Well, they're using their artificial intelligence to try to determine if, in fact, it is a robocall or whatever. Oh. But yeah, that silence unknown callers feature will definitely do the trick for you.
Good. Okay, thank you.
And one last question. Anybody? Jennifer Eichenau. I am not a techie. So since my goal is to start moving in that area, did I understand you correctly that an iPad with what you just spoke about can basically do what a computer does, and therefore would an iPad suffice for somebody who's not a techie?
1,000%. Please come see me afterwards. I would love to talk to you more about this because I am so passionate about this because I've replaced my computer with my iPad, and we're actually offering free courses. Shh. My iPad, not you all. We've got a notification there. We are actually offering free courses right now on that very thing, Jennifer. So please stop at the table and see me right after this.
What was the question?
Basically, the question was, can an iPad completely replace the need for a desktop computer? I believe very strongly that it can, and we're actually offering free courses on that, among other things. If you're interested, stop by and see us.
Okay.
there's nothing to type.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.